continued growth. We want to see, turn to Acts chapter 11, that we're still in this study that we're going through Acts, not just to look at just any particular basic theme, but we're actually zeroing in on something here because we realize that this isn't just the Acts of the early apostles. This is really the Acts of the Spirit of God. This is the power of God that we see working through the apostles in this entire book. And so we're really focusing in on the different ways that the power of God is working. And so last week we saw how the power of God worked in Peter to make him break away from some of these bonds of the food laws and all of that stuff to go to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, to go into his house to take the gospel right into his house where all that defiling food would have been. But God showed him that not only had he cleansed the food, he cleansed the Gentiles so that Peter could do this and not be defiled, so to speak, in a spiritual way. And I'm going to tell you, that might be hard for us to understand sometimes, but because we don't really live in that type of a culture. But in this day, this was a huge thing. Like, Peter actually ran the risk of being a total outcast from their society, okay, by just doing this one thing. And so we studied last week how the power of God actually broke down that barrier. And he takes away all the barriers. Guys, I'll tell you, we're all level on the playing field before the cross. We're all on the same level before God. God sees us all on the same level of importance. I can tell you, we are just as important to God as the richest person on earth or the poorest person on earth. He loves us all. And he sees us with the same importance. He created us. So as we look at today, as we're moving on in this study in Acts, and we're in chapter 11, verses 1 through 18, God will show us what major changes that we need to make in our thinking. And then he's the only one who can change a human heart. So we're going to be looking at how the power of God does the convincing in our hearts. How many of you guys have walked with the Lord, say, more than 10 years? More than 10 years. I'm stuck on 10 years today just for some strange reason. Well, if you've walked with the Lord for more than 10 years, you've seen some differences in the way you think about things. Amen? And I mean, some of those differences you'll see in the first year. Amen? And in the first moment, sometimes, God can change some of our thinking on things. But, you know, there's some stuff that I've seen that God's changed in my thinking over a period of years that I would have not even really realized it was wrong in the first place. You know, I mean, it just seemed right to me. And then all of a sudden, one day, God goes, hello, you know, that's not the right way to look at things. Sometimes he uses other people in that process as well. And so let's go ahead and read chapter 11, verses 1 through 18 here. And then we're going to go back and we're going to look at this just a little bit more. So now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him. Now, wait a minute. So they heard that they had received the Spirit of God. They heard that they had received the Word of God, is what it says, that they had received the Word of God. And yet, rather than being happy about it, they were waiting for Peter to get back so they could contend with him, so they could jump on to him, so that they could argue with him about this. So we got to keep in mind, guys, that even among the people of God, sometimes not everybody's on the same page right away. So we have to be careful. We have to be patient. We're going to see how Peter was patient here. Okay? So they say to him, "You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them." He ate with them. Guys, the food was cleansed. Amen? Do I get an amen to that? You know, there's still people today within the realm of what we would almost call Christian thought or Christianity, that still think that those food laws from the Old Testament are enforced on us today. And I would say that what we see through Peter actually shows us God's cleansed it. Amen? That was all to keep them spiritually pure. It wasn't about the food in the first place. And so now they're coming at him and they said, "You went in there and you ate with them? What is up with you?" Verse 4, "But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying," okay, he's being patient. Can we say that together? He is being patient. You see, he could have got mad. He could have flown off the handle. He could have just said, "That's it. I'm done with you guys. If you don't see it like me, I'm out of here. I'm going to start my own thing. I'm just going to..." And that's what happens so often, even today. Amen? But you see, he was patient. And he started from the beginning of the story. This is really an important lesson for us to learn. Be patient. Take the time. to start from the beginning. So he goes on. He says, I was in the city of Joppa praying. He was seeking the Lord. That's what prayer is. He was seeking the Lord. And in a trance, I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by the four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, No, not so, Lord, for nothing unclean or uncommon has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me from heaven, saying, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If indeed God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God, saying, Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Boy, I'll tell you what, we got a lot to learn from these verses, so we're going to start breaking them down. First of all, God's the one who does the convincing, right? And in fact, we see that God actually is the one who convinced Peter in the first place. And he kind of went through a process of this convincing. First of all, he convinced him. And so he convinced him. I think we need to go back a couple slides there, Daniel. I think I'm on the second slide right now. He convinced him, first of all, that the food is clean, right? Do I get an amen to that? Food's clean. And therefore, since the food's clean, it proves that the Gentiles are clean. Do I get an amen to that? It was a process. It was a process. And now, the next thing he shows him is that God shows no partiality at all. And we read that last week from 10:34. No partiality. Do I get an amen to that? Anybody on this earth who is a human being who repents and calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. Do I get an amen? They've never done anything so bad, so wrong, so terrible that God won't forgive them if they truly call out in faith. And so Peter could see that that was extended even to the Gentiles. So Peter was convinced. He was totally convinced. In fact, he was so convinced that when those men came to him, he went with them immediately. But what about the rest of the church in Jerusalem? God hadn't convinced them yet. And I can tell you, I believe Peter understood, I can't convince them either. I've got to be willing to wait. I've got to be willing to be patient. I just need to explain what happened. And I praise God for Peter. Peter was always known to be pretty impetuous, or he was easily aroused to action. He would do stuff at the drop of a hat, and sometimes it wasn't always the smartest stuff. Amen? Sometimes Peter would make mistakes and he'd get rebuked by Jesus whenever he walked with Jesus. But I can tell you, Peter had the Holy Spirit in him right now, and he is being led by God. So Peter was convinced, and now he's gone back to the church of Jerusalem. Now, I can tell you, he knew he was not going to be met with good reception here. And I don't know about the rest of you guys, but sometimes whenever I know I'm going to be in trouble, I just hide. Do any of the rest of you guys do that? You know you're in trouble, so you just avoid. Okay? Hey, I'll tell you what, they're not going to be happy with me in Jerusalem, so I'll just never go back to Jerusalem again. I can tell you, if Peter would have done that, it would have been a huge stumbling block to the church. It would have been a huge stumbling block, maybe even for us still today, because we're Gentiles who have come to the Lord. Amen? And so I'm glad Peter went back. I'm glad he faced the music, so to speak. That had to be uncomfortable. Hey, you know what? Peter had some explaining to do. Amen? Peter had some explaining to do. And we can see these guys were not thrilled. In fact, by verse 3 there we see, they're starting to scream at him. There's an exclamation point there. You went into uncircumcised men and ate with them? Are you kidding me? Why in the world would you do that? But you see, all Peter did is he just went ahead and he told the story, guys. You know what your responsibility is? It's the same. You just tell the story. Next slide, Daniel. You just tell your story. Guys, you don't have to spice it up. You don't have to make it look different. You don't have to put some spruced up details in your salvation story. You just tell it to other people. I'm telling you, God will use it and He will do things that are amazing through it. That's all Peter did. He just told the raw facts. If you watch the way he told the story, he just told the facts. And you know what? God is the one who convinced the others. Do I get an amen to that? You see, God's the one who convinced the others. In fact, whenever we read through this, we see how God convinced the others. Peter explained it to them, the order from the beginning, and he just tells it all out there. And by the time we get down to verse 18, there's really something important that happens in verse 18. When they heard these things, they became silent. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. This is another thing I've learned through the years. We hate that silence. Whenever that silence enters, we get all shook up and scared and we try to do something to break that silence. I'm going to tell you, sometimes in that silence, that's when God's working the best. That's when He's talking the loudest to that person. And I'll tell you what, we don't see anybody trying to break that silence at this point. In fact, it was just silent. They were quiet because God was talking to him. And the very next thing they do after that semicolon, they glorify God. You see, the point was that all these folks were committed to God. They were all committed to God. They wanted God's glory first. Those guys in Jerusalem did, that were a part of this group, and so did Peter. So Peter went back and faced the music because he wanted God to be glorified. He wanted God to be seen as holy. He wanted everybody to know what God had done. And you see, these other guys, they were really committed to the Spirit of God, so once they had thought about it, they were willing to let God do what God was going to do. And they just started glorifying God in the process. So, you see, growth in God, guys, is a process. Do I get an amen to that? How many of you guys are part of that process? Are you in that process right now? Have you noticed it didn't all happen at once? I mean, like, I wanted to, like, get saved and the next day be like Paul, you know? I wanted to be like a super apostle. I just wanted to have it all together. And I'll tell you, part of that was because of pride. I wanted to be able to say, hey, I know how to do this. But guys, it just takes time. It takes time. But you see, there's some elements that need to be in that process. And the first one is the glory of God needs to become number one in your life. Not you, not your pride, not your accomplishments, not your kingdom. What's the Lord's Prayer say? The Lord's model prayer? Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Is that your desire of your heart today to see God be number one in your life and in others? If it is, then I'll tell you what, God will work out all the rest of the details. And that's what happened here. Both of these groups here, the group that was with Peter and the group that was in Jerusalem, they all wanted God to be glorified. And so then the next part is, once you get to that, number two step is God does the convincing. God's the one who helps do the explaining to people's hearts and changing minds. And then number three, our lives begin to match our beliefs. Do you know what you believe is what your life's going to wind up looking like? If you believe God's a real small God and He don't really have control of everything and, you know, Satan's almost like an equal power, you know what? Your life's going to look like that too. Your life's going to be powerless. You're not really going to have a big life for God. In fact, you're going to have a real small life in God if you have a life in God at all, because you don't really believe that God has all power, and so it's going to be shown in your life. But you see, Peter didn't believe that. Peter believed God had all power. He had just seen that God had brought the Holy Spirit to those Gentiles there, and he couldn't hold it in. So he marched right back to Jerusalem and tell them what had happened, because that was a huge thing that had happened. His life was matching his belief. You see, he believed that God had really cleansed those Gentiles, so his life matched his belief, and he went to those Gentiles to take the gospel. Do you know if you hold on to some kind of false belief where you think maybe some other person is not worth as much, then you won't reach out to him. Your life will actually match your belief. You know, if you don't really think God wants you to witness, your life will match your belief. You won't witness. You know, like, over 80% of the church doesn't witness. So I think maybe it's a reflection on the church and what we believe. Because your life is going to match your beliefs. And so I think that we need to believe right. We need to let God do the convincing on us. We need to be listening and praying and seeking God's will and His glory first. And I'll tell you what, our lives will change with our beliefs. And then number four, our usefulness to the Master will increase. How many of you guys want God to do great things through you? I can't make you want that, but I'll tell you what, if the Spirit of God lives in you, that's what you'll want. Increasingly. You're going to want God to do great things through you. Not like it's got to be great so it makes the evening news type of great. But I'm talking like every time a soul comes to Jesus Christ and is saved, that's great. There's like nothing any greater than that. So do you want God to use you to bring other people to Jesus Christ? If you do, then these are the steps we go through. Let God be number one in your life. Let God do the convincing. Let God change your beliefs and then let your life start matching that. And I'll tell you what, God will start using you. That's how it happens. And so that's how it happened here with Peter. That's how it happened with these other guys. But I also tell you, growth don't always happen overnight. Our next slide, we're going to read the next couple of verses in this thing. Okay, we read up through verse 18, but let's read 19 and 20 there. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. Uh-oh. I guess they didn't have a telephone to get a hold of all those guys out there. It's taken a little bit longer before the rest of the church is willing to reach out to people other than Jews. So you see, that old belief still kind of has a hand on things. And so they're only preaching to the Jews at this point, but then we start to see a progression in the next couple verses. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists. You see, those were people who believed in Judaism and followed Judaism, but they were Greek-speaking. So now it's starting to get a little bit further from the purest form of Jews to now even the Hellenists are starting to hear about the gospel, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, if you continue to read in Acts, we're going to see that God's getting ready to unleash the greatest evangelist that ever went out onto planet Earth in the world, probably still to this day, and it's Brother Paul. Saul, who has just been converted about two chapters ago, is just about ready to go out and reach out to the Gentiles in a great way. But you see, God's already preparing the soil for this thing to happen. But, you know, we got to admit it. Some people don't follow God once He tells them what's right. Some people don't even follow God after He's convinced them it's right. What about those people? You ever seen anybody like that? So we're going to ask that question. What happens if we refuse to follow God? So what do you think happens if somebody refuses to follow God? Can be judged, yeah, we can find discipline or even what seems like punishment at the time. Just ask the Jews that refused to follow. You see, those are the ones who killed Jesus. You'll wind up hating God if you won't follow Him. In fact, there's a whole bunch of them that followed around after Paul everywhere he went and tried to undo everything he did. They were called Judaizers. They actually eventually killed Paul over this because they would not listen to the convincing of the Holy Spirit. And they fought against Him in this. And they wound up actually fighting against God. In fact, if we just jump forward a couple chapters here in chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, we see kind of a small event that happens here that proves this. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the Word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." Now starts the greatest outreach to the Gentiles that we've ever seen. What an amazing thing happens, and it happens out of some of these other guys' disobedience to the word of God, disobedience to God's prompting in their life. And I believe God is always consistent. So God wasn't saying to them, well, no, the Gentiles don't really get to come in, but He's saying to these, the Gentiles get to come in. No, He was consistent in His teaching, and some people refused to listen to Him. The night I got saved, I asked God a question. This is a question I asked Him. He had convinced my heart that Jesus really was the way. And I asked Him, but what if I don't follow You? You want to know the answer He gave me? He showed me what it would be like to be in hell forever. And it took about 2 seconds of that to convince me that that's not something I want. If it means I got to sacrifice my whole life to follow him, which is exactly what he wants. He wants us to sacrifice a whole life. Whatever we got left of it, he wants it all. In fact, he says it in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service. Based on what he's done for us, it is only right that we give him our whole life. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Guys, that's the convincing I'm talking about. The only way that's going to happen is if we're in an active relationship with him. Okay? And in so doing, we're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so here's the deal. Is God doing some convincing in your hearts? Maybe you need to make some changes. Because you see, that's what he does. It's always about that. He convinces us of stuff, and then we go, wow, if I really believe that, then this in my life's going to have to change. And I'll just tell you, a lot of times that's when we go, we throw out the brakes. Change! Change alert! I don't want to do that! Change scares me! Guys, here's the deal, though. If God's on the other side of that change, he's the one wanting you to make it, it is going to be awesome. You just got to be willing to take that step. If you don't, you're going to get stuck right there. And if you continue to refuse, I've seen people's whole lives get shipwrecked. Don't do it. Say yes. Say yes to God. I'm going forward. Don't look back. Look forward. That's where Jesus is at. He's out in front of you. He's leading the way and he's saying, come on. I'll show you how to do it. I'll convince your heart. I'll help you know it's right. I'll do it all. You just got to follow. Please don't stop. Don't get stuck. Because if you do, I don't know how long you'll be there. Why waste the time? Why take a chance with your soul? We just need to make sure that we're following God. Let me pray over you. Dear God, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we've had to see how you do the convincing in people's hearts. You didn't just convince Peter. You didn't just convince Cornelius and his family. His whole household got saved. You convinced those Jews in Jerusalem that it was okay to eat with those Gentiles. It was okay because they were clean, that they could be saved too. What an awesome, awesome thing. And so, Lord, we've got barriers ahead of us, some old ways of thinking that we've had stuck in our heads for years. Ways of prejudice, ways of just foolishness. Lord, help us to allow you to change our minds, our hearts, so that we can be great vessels of use in your hand. Lord, help us to be surrendered so you can use us. Lord, first step of that is we first have to repent of our sins, admit we're a sinner, and repent, turn away from it, give our life to Jesus. If we will do that, man, the world is ahead of us, and eternity is before us. We will live with you forever, and until then, you'll use us to bring other people to Jesus. You'll use us in amazing ways if we'll just let you do it. But if we hold on to those old ways that are false, contrary to your word, sometimes, Lord, we can really hamper our effectiveness in your kingdom. So help us not do that. Help us to say, yes, Lord, today. Yes, Lord. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper here in just a few minutes. But before we do, Lord, we're going to have this song of invitation. I pray if anybody needs to come to the altar and just bring their prayers and lift them up before you. Maybe it's a prayer of repentance for fighting against you for too long. And it's today is the day to give in, give up. Give our whole self over to you. Maybe for some, it may be to be saved. Lord, they're heading for hell because they don't know Jesus and they're going to have to pay for their sin someday. But you're convinced them here this morning that you've paid for their sin. Your death on the cross paid for it all because you are perfect. Therefore, when you died, you were our substitute. Lord, maybe they need to come up and be saved. But whatever the case may be, maybe somebody just needs to join the church this morning. They've been here and they see this is the place that they need to identify with. Let it be done today. Let's just say, yes, Lord. Help us to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.